Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need Bill. Bill Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With Bill, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using Bill to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how Bill can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to Bill Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
So I wanna dial in a little bit on peyote. What is the experience of peyote? Is it peyote or peyote?
It's peyote.
Peyote. So what is the experience of peyote and what is its form and intake?
Yeah, so peyote can be ingested by eating the plant. Mm-hmm. There's teas that are created. There's also powder forms. Mm. Depends on your, you know, ceremonial leader, your peyote roadman, and how they're conducting that ceremony. I was invited in a very respectful way to sit with peyote. And it is, for me, it was this experience where I think, you know, with mushrooms, you take the medicine, you're on the rocket ship, it's going to take you where you got to go, yeah. Even if you're not trying to go there. Yeah. It's going to take you there, you know, which is beautiful in itself. Sometimes you're not, you don't know where you need to go.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. But with peyote, there's a subtleness where you can get in the car and kind of drive to where you want to go. It's really this heart opener, I would say.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and I sat in a ceremony and It's challenging, you know. You're sitting there for over 14 hours, you know. You're sitting around the fire and you're ingesting it in multiple different ways. But I think for me, it was just, it helped me to continue the deep ancestral healing that, you know, is my responsibility right now. But I will say, you know, the Native American church and a lot of, you know, traditional peyote people are pleading for community to not ingest peyote right now. There is a huge ecological threat to peyote right now, and there is not enough peyote to feed the current members or traditional people that have this medicine as their sacrament, right? So an alternative to peyote could be San Pedro, where you can get San Pedro anywhere. You know, if you're in California, you probably see San Pedro growing, you know, down the sidewalks, right? You go to Menards, you can buy San Pedro, you know? So I think it's also understanding that there are also sustainable solutions and how we choose the medicines we're partaking in to be in deep respect to the medicine, to the land, and to the people.
You know, when you speak about plant medicine and many people that come from the culture.
Yeah.
They always speak on it with such reverence and respect and honor. Mm-hmm. You know, what is that relationship where you speak on it as if you're talking about a member of the tribe?
It is. It is. And this is going back to kinship, right? It's understanding that these plants are our relatives. You know, I have an elder and someone I really just look up to, Sander Ironrope. And he has said so many times, that's our grandpa. That's our grandma that you go and just pick out of the ground without permission, right? That's our grandmother or our grandfather that you just extract from for your compound and your molecules to create synthetic, right? You're taking from us, you're extracting from us, you're exploiting from us, right? So when you have this mindset of kinship and really center the interconnectedness of all things, you have a deep reverence for plants, for the land, because you understand that they're living, breathing entities that teach us. They teach us so much, right? So they deserve that deep care.
I think what's very admirable is the relationship and connection that indigenous people have with the earth, Mother Nature, the elements, which is something that's vastly lost today in society, right? There's an honor of the wind, there's an honor of the sun, there's an honor of the earth, there's an honor of the cycle of the times, to the plants, to the insects, and there's this constant way about being in flow with the earth and the rhythm. And that's something that anytime I even hear, whether it's on a movie or whether I'm watching a documentary, there's even a flow, like in the way that indigenous people speak, right? That it feels as if you're talking to an ancestor presently, right? And then there's this pace that we have in English, right? And this pace is a much faster. It's urgent. Like you're trying to get to a point. And theirs is a much slowed down and more so moving and flow and direction, because it doesn't seem like you're trying to get a person to a point. Because the problem is that, you know, I'm very masculine and logical in my thought pattern.
Yeah.
But you realize that, you know, nature is created to flow. It's not created to end. And logic allows you most of the time come to an end conclusion. Right. And then you settle in that thought. Yeah. Right. And this is where, even when you talk about creating cycles, right, and sustainabilities, it's coming to a point of having a relationship with everything.
Yes.
And there's a way about going in that relationship that you're not taking more than you need. Right. And so you're not robbing. You're actually helping if you're doing it correctly. It's kind of like, you know, and this may not be the greatest example for you, or but still, I think it is. It's like when a person, some people go and hunt and kill deer that may overrun as a population, so that it doesn't, you know, mess up the forest.
I come from a family of hunters.
I believe that's
how we take care of the land, right? But we use every part of that deer, right? And I think, you know, it's funny you said we don't take more than we need, because that was a teaching that came from, you know, my seventh great grandfather, Chief Oshkosh, because he's literally the teacher of sustainable forestry, right? His practices are why our forest is so dense. People come from all over the world to study our forests and our forest management practices, right? And it's tied into sustainability. It's tied into this kinship. It's tied into the seventh generation. And these really are the three principles that rule my entire life, you know? And I have so much to learn. I am a sponge right now. My eyes are just opening in an amazing way. But I know wherever I go on this path, and whatever decisions I have to make or whatever tables I'm sitting at, these are the things I'm constantly going to remind myself of.
I wanted to dial back again to indigenous people. And what does that mean?
Yeah, so I think, you know, largely indigenous to me means being indigenous to the land, right? Having a relationship with the land in which you come from, right? There are so many indigenous peoples all over the world. And I think when people hear indigenous, they just think North America, Turtle Island, Native Americans. But there's indigenous peoples everywhere, you know, in Africa and Sami and New Zealand and Australia, you know, we're deep, right? And I was a part of the United Nations Global Youth Caucus for the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. And I'll never forget this moment. It changed my life. I think I was like 22, 8 years ago, aging myself, but we were sitting in the circle, and it was after one of the forums ended, and it was indigenous youth representatives from everywhere in the circle. And we went around the circle to just share what we were holding, what our hopes and dreams were for our future generations, and what were some of our fears. And we cried together, you know, we cried together. But what I understood after that circle ended is that we have so much more in common than we have, you know, differences. And once we realized that, the power we hold as Indigenous peoples globally, oh, we could shake something for real, you know? Yeah. And we can't rely on something like the United Nations that's built on this bureaucracy to do that, right? And so that's a dream of mine, to really support bringing all Indigenous peoples together. One of my relatives, Ingrid Washiwatok, Flying Eagle Woman, was one of the most well-known Indigenous rights activists of the 21st century, did so much work within the United Nations and in philanthropy. Unfortunately, she was kidnapped and murdered by the FARC guerrillas in 1999. Mm. But what one of her legacies really was bringing the Indigenous peoples of the North and South together. And I really see this opportunity to bring all Indigenous peoples together, right? Of every part of the world, every corner, so that we can really demand land back and really enact our sovereignty in a powerful way.
So what are some of the challenges? Well, two parts. What are some of the challenges and the rights that Indigenous people face in America, right? Is it possible that someone can be Indigenous to America and not know? What are some of the systemic things that they have to deal with that we may not be aware of as, you know, everyday people?
Yeah.
Because I know that, you know, the common thread of thought is there's always these mental health issues. There's alcoholism, there's drug abuse, there's suicide, there's kidnapping.
We have the worst health outcomes out of any race, any ethnicity. That's very true. But other thing, you know, and that's everyone hyperfixates on those things, and they are true, and it is important that we highlight that, and we, you know, have the economic resources to be able to create the programming to support that. But on another level, what, you know, I don't think a lot of people are thinking about is the war that we have, or the issues we have between our tribes and the government, right? Because we are alien to the United States. We have our own sovereignty. Right. We have our own government, right?
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
A lot of smart people don't feel so smart when it comes to their money. So Morgan Stanley made a podcast to help. Listen to What Should I Do With My Money? To hear real people ask real questions about money and get helpful answers from experienced financial advisors.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
We don't have to adhere to the state law, right? We adhere to federal.
Yeah.
So if there is a federal crime that happens, you know, on a reservation, you know, the FBI comes, right? That's what happens. And I think really understanding that we are always fighting for this government to honor the treaties they've signed, right? And I see these treaties as this, you know, sacred bargain. Really, was it a bargain? I don't know. I mean, one could argue it really wasn't that. But, you know, and there were things we were promised, and we're constantly having to go back and say, look, you know, we have this right to this land. We have this right to our ways. You know, even when we think about our healthcare, right? If you are Native American in the United States and you are enrolled in a federally recognized tribe or a state recognized tribe, or you are a descendant, the first, second, or third degree, you are born with free healthcare through Indian Health Service, also known as IHS, right? A lot of people don't know that. And it's similar to like the VA structure, like universal. And what's interesting about that is that this is a treaty, and the treaty said, we are going to provide that free healthcare. Today, IHS is funded at 50% of its capacity, has always been grossly underfunded. They have never funded it to 100%, right? So when I see all this money going so many other places and not staying here to take care of the commitments you have made to Indigenous peoples of the United States, I'm beside myself.
Yeah, well, you know, they funding wars.
They are funding wars
for countries that have founded themselves the same way America has.
Well, that is how settler colonization continues to perpetuate itself and tries to continue to marginalize us. But I think there are, you know, are unique opportunities that we have right now and the innovative technologies that are coming to the forefront, how we can reimagine, you know, capitalism or wealth and reinvest in our communities.
So what is that future right now? Because I look at the sovereignty that you do have and the opportunities that can come with that. And what are the challenges of utilizing that, right? So that you all can have self-sustainability and create your own. Because, you know, from the outside looking in, a person don't understand the, I guess, challenges of why not start with what you have, right? And I know when, you know, from a little bit of knowledge that I do have on the subject, there's sometimes a lot of conflict between the elders and the youth. Youth wanting to make a change, and the elders is like, nah, I'm not ready for that. Then there's usually somebody who is a little more, you know, vocal, and they going out for it, and you got to wait for things to shift, and there's all of these in-house things. And so it's the stifle of progress. So is it more the challenge of the government, or is the challenge of the self-government, the tribe system, right? Not allowing these things to operate in what would be the modern day indigenous innovative ways of going about creating self-sustainable systems.
Yeah, well, when we're talking about self-determination, one would think that would be simple, but yeah, it's completely nuanced. There's so many layers within that. And it's a really good question. Like, is the issue with the tribal to government relationship or the is it intertribal issues itself, right?
Because there's the, even in, you know, in all cultures that are fighting from or maintaining self-identity, right? But then at the same time, wanting to move forward, there's always this perseverance that has to happen. But, and that's why we say old man for wisdom, young man for war, right? And so it's like there has to be this let go, right? But it has to be in trust that you're not letting go of it. You're actually passing it forward.
Well, this is what I call the gatekeepers, right? I think there's a difference between an elder and a gatekeeper, right?
Talk to me about it.
You know, the gatekeeper, you know, isn't ready to really center humility. Isn't ready, ready to let go, right? Isn't able to have that empathy or perspective that you were once that youth that was hungry to innovative ideas. Some, you know, gatekeepers who are elders have this mentality of this is the way it's always been, so it has to be like this. And then we come in with innovative ideas and new strategies, and we're like, well, why don't we think about it in this way? Or, you know, and we start kind of moving the needle and there's resistance.
There. I've always been an innovative, rebellious, revolutionary youth that's trying to push constant change,
but
for the better.
But they need education, you know? Yeah. And we also have to have some humility and understanding that a lot of this is happening so fast and so new to them. And so I think having that compassion for them.
But where's that warrior spirit? Well, we got to kick y'all in the ass and be like, all right, y'all gotta stop holding it. We already got an enemy out there.
Yeah.
We don't need another one here.
No, it's true. But we also have to honor the respect. And also,
absolutely,
there's so much work that they didn't. It's a privilege that we get to heal in this way. They didn't have that privilege, right?
But that's, I feel like And I 100% understand. Yeah. And that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be a punishment that we don't have to go through the same thing. You are supposed to rid that challenge so we didn't have to, because the generation before you may have not had that challenge, right? And there was a time when the people who created the very laws that you uphold didn't go through those same challenges as well.
Absolutely.
It wasn't until the wars came and the issues and the problems and all of that. So is it that we're upholding this veneration for our trauma, right? That then becomes part of the so-called culture, which would then be holding on to the past because you went through something and almost a level of jealousy that the next generation is not going through it when they're not supposed to.
Yeah, I mean, I see that because I've had so many great mentors in my life and some not great, very harmful.
Yeah.
And that is because, you know, they had not healed their own wounds and they were coming from a place of activism or leadership that was wounded, right? That's harmful, right? But then I have some amazing, like I said, mentors and aunties, right? One of my aunties is a tribal legislator. She sits on tribal council for the Menominee Reservation, right? And she listens to me. And of course, I listen to her. I learned so much from her, right? She has way much more life experience than I have, right? But she honors my intelligence. She honors my thought process.
Yeah.
She's open to sit down at the table to think about different ways in which we can bring healing to our community.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about her. But that's not everybody on that council.
Yeah, you know,
and so being able to align yourself with the elders, with the mentors who really share your beliefs, who really share your vision. Because not everybody can come where we're going.
Now, and then that kind of goes, what? Because there has to be something that says this person is ready. There has to be testing challenges. Mm-hmm. I think about the story of Sitting Bull when he was 10 years old and he went out there, right? And he touched the enemy. And they knew he was one of them ones.
Yeah, he said.
Right? So. Yeah. And it's like, if there's no proving ground.
Yeah.
That I just go through my whole life waiting for you to let me know. Where's the, where is, and how do I know that I haven't already been ready and you're just not willing to let go? Right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the challenge of the youth. It's like, you know, how do I know that I'm being upheld because the system is bad? Right? Or do we actually have systems that allow us to pass the torch when the youth are ready?
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's the integrity of the leader. It's the integrity of that council. I mean, I can share an example. It's a little different, but very similar, I think. When I was getting my master's at NYU, I became a director of an urban program in New York City. It was the first time that they got this big grant. They didn't even have a location. I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm ready. Like, we're about to build this. It's going to be everything. Like, I'm so excited. Poured everything into it. But I kept hitting a roadblock with the executive director, right? Just wouldn't listen to me. Like, slow down. You're young. You know, really kind of that misogynistic, you're a woman, you don't know as much as me, right? And I couldn't get anything done in that year. And here is all of this money sitting here in this space, and I can't do anything with it. That almost broke me, right? It was a disservice to my community. So what did I do is I left, right? And in that, I co-founded the Urban Indigenous Collective, which where it was like, okay, you're not going to let me do what I need to do and carry out this vision that I have. I'm going to do it on my own and you're going to see, you know, and shout out to him for calling me, you know, and, you know, trying to break bread and come to a better place. But I saw all of this a long time ago. Why didn't you listen? Oh, because you saw something in me that terrified you, right? Mm-hmm. It made you feel insecure about yourself. That's your work, not my stuff. Okay, I got shit to do.
Yeah. But that's the thing. People fear replacement and they fear becoming obsolete. Because at the core, human beings want value.
It's ego. Right? We're not doing this for ego.
Yeah.
The
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.